Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. Today we're talking to Dr. Steve Wellum about his new book, Systematic Theology, Volume 1, subtitle From Canon to Concept. We'll want to talk about that as well, but Steve has been with us before. Steve, great to have you back. Thanks for coming.
Fred, thank you. It's always good. It's been too long, but it's always good to be with you.
Yeah. Now, what we want to do with these is work our way through your entire volume. So this will be a number of interviews. We won't do one that's 4, 5, 6 hours long. We'll do one for a few minutes each, and then we'll work our way through. Let's start with the book itself, the background, how it's been coming. Obviously, this is a book that has been decades in the making. In some respects, you've been teaching for a long time. But in terms of the agreement, the writing stage and all of that, how long did it come about? And then when is volume two?
Yeah, no, good questions. Yeah, no, the volume one, I mean, it was supposed to be originally one volume. So now it's turned into two volumes, and B&H has graciously allowed that. But it's been in the works for quite a while. I mean, I think the contract for it was probably, 2007, 8, 9 or so. It came, I think, as a result. I mean, if I remember correctly, it's getting a little blurry now. If I remember correctly, I mean, I think Mark Dever was the one that said, Steve's teaching at Southern and he's got all these handouts and working through this. We need a systematic from, a Baptist Reformed view, covenantal view, and so on. And so I think he put a bug in there, and then a contract was signed, and nothing really was done on it because I was working on some other issues. And that's probably a good thing, right? You don't want to write too soon on things like this with the systematics, because you eventually have to correct yourself down the road. It takes time to think through these matters. So it's been in the works, but finally, getting to it, saying I have to get this done. And the seminary graciously gave me a year sabbatical. I was hoping to get, it all in one volume, but as I started working through it to say anything of substance and deal with the issues of the day and not just make it surface. I mean, the books are like that, which are fine, right? They serve a purpose, but if you want it to deal with some more current issues and spell things out and make a case, then it has to be a little bit longer. And so that's how it split to two volumes, but it's been in the works over the years, and I'm glad to see volume one out. Volume two is I'm working on it right now, and really wanting to get that done. I can't, if I make promises, then I eventually have to break them. But, I'm really shooting within this year to get that done. And then there is a lag time just in getting it out. So this right, volume sure. is actually turned in January of 22. And so, almost 2 years to get out. So hopefully maybe that could be a bit faster the next time.
Good. All right, let's start working through some of the questions that arise in the book itself. First of all, let's start at the basics. What is theology? Just briefly, we'll expand on that, I think, sometime later. But what is theology? What is systematic theology? And then differentiate between the various disciplines involved.
Yeah. So, I mean, people define systematics and theology in different ways. And I've done that over the years. As I settled on a definition, and again, no definition is perfect, I tried to, in the definition, capture the proper object of theology, the proper study of theology, which is God himself. So I define systematics of, the study of the triune God, right? So obviously theology in its very linguistic formulation, semantic formulation is the study of theos, study of God. But obviously we speak of the triune God. So the study of the triune God and all things in relation to him. And I think that really is, I'll have to confirm with you, Fred, but I think that's a Warfield definition.
Yeah.
That's a definition that's gone way back in our own present day. John Webster picked that definition up, but he's just building on Warfield and the Reformed Orthodox and through the history of the church. So a proper study of who God is, the triune God, and all things in relation to him. So that now speaks of him in himself, and also then his works of creation, providence, redemption, and everything of us as creatures in relation to him. And then I,
well, to interrupt
up,
you, interrupt yeah. you a second. That's actually very important in the definition, because theology is not the study of religious experience. It's not a study of my feelings or my relation. And to God, those kinds of things. It is an objective study of God himself, right?
Yeah, and to define it properly in terms of God himself, right? So it's not just defined horizontally as you're picking up there. I've used for years sort of John Frame's definition. He says that systematic theology is the application of scripture or of God's word by people to every area of life. What I did was, because I didn't think it had that proper study of God brought right to the forefront and God is the object of theology, I then combined theology is the study of the triune God, all things in relation to him by the application of scripture. So I combined sort of the older definition with Frame, and I did the by the application of scripture, which picks up some of the idea of methodology. How do we then study who God is and all things in relation to him? Well, by scripture, right? So that gets to sola scriptura. It's our final authority. And then speaking of its application to every area of life. And that gets into then theology gets into not only theological doctrines and what we believe and how we understand salvation and who God is, but also a worldview. It applies to every domain of life.
Right. Okay. And then systematic theology and the related disciplines.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's just because I am writing a systematics and teach systematics. I still think the old concept that systematics is the queen of the sciences, right? So it's royalty, it's the capstone, it's queen because it's the most beautiful of the sciences type of thing. And so all the other disciplines are that which contribute to the task of systematic theology. So as the queen of the disciplines, it pulls everything together. It applies to every area of life based upon scripture, our study of God and all things in relation to him. And then the disciplines underneath it, if it's the application of scripture, we have to do exegesis. We have to go from text after text after text, right, in terms of book, which moves from exegetical theology to biblical theology. And biblical theology will be very important because we have to understand the entirety of the canon. We do so in light of church history. We do so in light of those who've gone before us. We don't just enter into the theological enterprise as if we're the first ones to do so. We build on the confessional heritage as it is consistent with scripture. Not all confessions are, but especially the early councils. And we do it in light of historical theology. And then, philosophy and these other areas become handmaids, ministerial. So as we think of natural revelation, scripture has to be applied to every area of life, right? There, God has given us a revelation of himself in creation. And so the study of the world is, you know, you have scientific issues, you have philosophical. They may be helpful in helping us understand its application to every area of life. But, you've got everything under systematics, exegetical, biblical, historical, philosophy has its place as interpreted by scripture, right? It's always going back to the final authority. The ground of our knowledge of God is scripture itself.
How does apologetics relate to systematic theology?
Yeah, so I think systematic theology, and I think most have said this, right? It doesn't just say this is what we ought to believe about God and everything in relation to him, but in believing that, it is giving us truth. It's saying this is who God is, this is who we are, this is what sin is, this is how we should think of the world and ourselves. So there's always an apologetic emphasis. We're not only expounding the faith and proclaiming it, but we're also defending it, right? Those go hand in hand. So when we say this is the truth, this is who God is, and then someone says to us, well, why do you believe that? Well, we're now into a defense of, giving an apologetic for. So systematic theology intimately is involved in the doing of apologetics. I view apologetics, though, as a subset of theology. I take John Frame's definition there, that it's the application of scripture to unbelief. And so apologetics is giving a reason for the hope that's in us, giving proof for the Christian position, defending it, and setting the Christian view as an entire theology or worldview over against its competitors.
Okay, theology is the study of God. Systematic theology, we organize the various topics in that study. What then is the goal of systematic theology, and why is it important for the average Christian?
Yeah, many goals. First, ultimately, goals to know God, right? I mean, we are creatures. We are made for covenant relationship. The first task of theology is to know the true and living God, right? You think of this is eternal life, that you may know you, Father, and ultimately the Lord Jesus, whom you have sent. And so that is the first goal, is to have the knowledge of God, to be in relation to God, grow in covenant with him, obedience to him. So systematic theology is helping us to know God, and then ultimately ourselves, who we are properly. It's for God's glory. It's for the edification of the church. It's for sound doctrine. It's dealing with the realm of truth. So systematic theology is allowing people to say, this is what the truth is over against error, right? We live in a fallen world and there's lots of error. So systematic theology is helping people think God's thoughts after him, bringing all of their thought captive to Christ and to God's word, to stand against the false teachings of the day, to grow in their love and obedience and service of the Lord. And the church needs this, because unless you're grounded in the truth, you move to error. And truth involves life and death, right? To know the true God is life, to not know him and to have false ideas about him ultimately is death and destruction, right? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, but the wise person is the one who fears God. And we want to fear God in terms of knowing all that he has said about himself and its application to us.
All right, one more. And this is very important. What do we mean by theology from above and theology from below?
Yeah, those phrases were particularly, I mean, they show up in a number of areas. They show up in a lot of Christological discussion. So I'm picking up from some earlier work I've done on Christology. So people would speak about, well, do we have a Christology from above, or do we have a Christology from below? Now, people use those terms in different ways. This is the way I'm using it. From above, and I'm not just saying Christology from above. I'm tying it now to the entire theological task. The question is do we do it from the posture of divine revelation? So faith seeking understanding dependent upon what God has revealed about himself. So if we go back into the entire history of the church, particularly the Reformation, post-Reformation era, they used to speak about two foundations or principia. God is the foundation and his self-revelation, his word is the foundation. So he is in his being the foundation of truth and of theology and of knowledge, and his revelation of himself is how we then know, right? And so theology from above is using our reason as creatures, as God's people, under the authority of divine revelation, particularly scripture. Now, we will also speak of natural revelation, special revelation, and so on, but particularly scripture as our final authority. Theology from below is really seeking to know God, ourselves, and the world. You may appeal to the Bible, but ultimately it's tied to human experience, human rationality, some kind of system that is not grounded in scripture. And it is so in Christology, the whole attempt to discover the historical Jesus, which you didn't discover by just reading the Gospels, because that Jesus was not seen as part of the historical Jesus, because he did miracles, he was divine and this type of thing. So they started from historical reconstruction. So this gets into the whole attempt by liberal theology to build from human religious experience, historical criticism, philosophical systems. I'm saying, no, we start from above. We start from what God has said about himself. And that is the basis for our theology. And our reason then stands under God's authority, God's revelation, not over it.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll talk more next time about theological method and so on. We're talking to Dr. Steve Wellum about his new book, Systematic Theology, Volume 1, From Canon to Concept. And next time we'll pick it up, talk about theological method, the basic elements of theology. We'll see why so many, including me, think that this is just really a landmark book that we've got to give some attention to. Steve, thanks for talking to us.
Glad to be with you, Fred. Thank you.